I want to figure out who you're picking a fight with here, Wells. So let's try to name the thing that you're fighting. And you touched on this just a few minutes ago. And it's this line between being AI active, which almost every enterprise is now, and being AI productive.
Sure.
So maybe for those that don't live, breathe this stuff like you and I do every day, define those and help explain the gap or the delta between them that you think represents such a big opportunity.
Sure. So the worst thing in the world is to think that measuring your spend, even spend on a per developer basis, is indicative of results, right? Mm-hmm. That is, if all you can quantify is your bill, you're in big, big trouble, right?
Yeah.
So as soon as I...
A receipt is an ROI.
Yeah, that's not, that's bad news, right?
Yeah.
So as soon as I told the whole company, we're making this AI first shift, enabled access, got everybody the right tools, you know, tooling, I think we're early, right? We're quite early adopters in terms of a mandate and enablement.
Yeah.
And I very much expected all of my seniors to jump in, you know.
Meaning your senior engineers.
I expected my senior years, we're just going to naturally want to jump, because I loved it. I'm on this dopamine high, right?
Of you and me both.
The new power, right? I figured everybody would be dying to do that. And I guess the first thing that really piqued my interest about the difference in active and productive is I started noticing that, and this actually is just on cost analysis. So I just was looking at individual usage patterns, because I could see all the tokens used by everybody. I could see all their chats. And I noticed a trend that a lot of the folks that I thought would be leaning in were not. And a lot of the juniors who I knew didn't yet know enough about our business to be contributing super highly were just consuming a ton of tokens.
Okay.
So that...
But you didn't really know what all that meant yet.
Right? I didn't know what that meant yet. That's exactly right. So I knew that there was a psychology at play. So a couple of things ended up evolving for us. So one, Codevine started to mature and we were able to start drawing insights across teams of workers, right? So let's just say you've got a large enterprise project and maybe you have three squads and 50 repositories or something like that. Or maybe you're small, maybe you just got one squad and five. The tools right now, the analytics most tools are providing today are really just giving individual developers, they're doing chat analysis and they're giving Mick insights on, oh, hey, look, this didn't work quite right here. You need to put this in your Claude code or something like that, or Claude MV file or something like that. But very specific, right? Tips and tricks. I realized there was nothing behavioral. The analysis that were available were not about how teams work together. And they were about extracting the high-value productivity breakthroughs that your frontier developers discover and deploying those to everybody else, right? So the couple things became crystal clear to me. And this is, some people are going to find this obvious and some people are not, right? But developers, there have always been, there's this myth, it's not really myth, there's the 10x developer, the guy who's just way more productive than everybody.
The hero developer.
The hero developer. Yep. Then there are the guys that are niche, that they have this thing down pat, right? You know, you can go to him for that thing or her. But the way in which they achieve their results has really been a rather personal dark art. Even if you're recording your screen in their keys, you had no way to generalize the techniques and the sophistication and the knowledge that they had accumulated over years into something that's portable between humans. The best we had was books. Here, go read this book, right? With AI, we have crystal clear vision of their x-ray vision from intent to process to outcome, right? You can see all of the, what did the user want to accomplish? How did they go about accomplishing it? Were they engaging the AI at the right level of sophistication? Were they very task oriented or were they taking a more creative approach? Were they letting the AI drive or were they being authoritative leader? So we figured out really for the first time in knowledge work history, you can extract not just things like technical knowledge, but process aware know-how, solution solving, the collaborative problem solving that you're having with the agent, that can be extracted from high value results And that capability can be deployed and embodied in everyone else's AI agent, right? If the old analogy would have to be like, you're going to give me a brain transplant, right?
Yeah.
But that's impossible, right? But now we can give each agent a little bit of the brain power that we've extracted from the most productive, the most effective folks. And it becomes a viral, if you will, new capability.
Super, super fast, right?
Super fast.
The vision I always have is Trinity in the Matrix series, learning how to fly the helicopter in 30 seconds, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's pretty close, but it's not going into your head. It's going into your agent.
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
I got it. So listen, I want to hit a bit of an uncomfortable one here because you've got a little bit of maybe a contrarian point of view on something that's highly related to what we're on already. And that's it. Right now, everybody, every AI vendor on earth is claiming all kinds of big developer productivity numbers. So GitHub says Copilot users are 55% faster. McKinsey says that they're 25% faster in their delivery of solutions. But you've gone out and called out the industry and said that these individual developer productivity metrics are really the wrong unit of measure, and that it ought to be more about what you're accomplishing as a team, engineering-wise, or even all the way at an organizational level. So defend that stance for everybody here. Why is that your belief?
Okay, so
that it seems like if every individual developer is more productive, why wouldn't the whole org be more?
No, number one, the individual productivity gains are amazing. Right.
You're not disputing.
Absolutely not. No, look, the frontier models and the tools that they've enabled, it's absolutely unlocking new, amazing capabilities for everyone across the board.
Yes.
Now, if you've ever worked in a big company, you know that big companies spend outrageous amounts of money trying to define and redefine and evolve the ways that their teams work together.
Yes.
Their entire departments,
yes.
Their entire consulting companies, big ones that you know of that are dedicated, that make tons of money either helping steer the ways of working or covering up from the fact that the enterprise has a discoordinated way of working, right? So the reality is, number one, right now, the development capability outstrips the organization's ability to effectively absorb and manage it. Just straight up, you put 1,000 horsepower engine in a car that's not ready to handle 1,000 horsepower, right? So eventually, we'll replace the tires and the transmission, and we might be able to handle a little better. But it's a mistake to think that just speeding up individuals makes the entire organization faster, right? This is an interesting line, right? So I am saying what we want to do, Mick, is we want to identify what makes Mick the most productive agentic developer.
Yep.
And we want to be able to graft that into everyone else's AI experience, right? We want to literally upskill the entire organization based on the best outcomes.
Yeah.
So
I like how you're foreshadowing that graft word too.
Yeah. That's absolutely part of it. Being able to measure outcomes, let's just simply look at through any capable measurement regime today needs to be focused on, you should be able to quantify release to release. What are my net adds and removes?
Yep.
And who contributed them and how much AI did they use to make those contributions? That's something Codevine can do today with a lot of heavy lifting. So there are some other ways to get at that information, but let's just say that's a baseline, and you're going to see some folks with super high AI usage with not getting much code into production.
Yep.
So kind of job number one is to understand that dynamic.
Yeah. We've all had that token maxing.
I'll tell you a quick story. The original version of Codevine, I had a usage leaderboard on the homepage, right?
Seems like it would make sense.
Yeah. I wanted to get people into using it.
Of course.
Not long after, I started noticing there was not a correlation between who I knew was contributing in the usages. I had Codevine analyze 2 weeks of chats with the whole company. And it initially highlighted this guy. And he's like, you have a problem here. This guy is asking questions about how to game the leaderboard. Particularly said, help me come up with an unhinged plan to get my rank up, right? I looked into it a little more, and he's actually asking for help in structuring more sophisticated prompts.
Okay.
But legitimately, we saw people clearly burning tokens with to no good effect. I'll give you another example. Right? There's a program out there that a lot of my developers like. It's never really caught on for me for some reason, but it's popular in developer land. It's called Obsidian.
Yep. I've used it myself.
So. Yeah. I feel like it's a trophy case of agony. The guys that use it as a junk drawer of the stuff they learned or experienced, right? You never go back and look at that stuff. Now, especially because you can just ask the AI.
Yeah.
But you'll see crazy graphs, like knowledge graphs that people generate on the internet. Super popular on Instagram, TikTok, wherever, when you're talking about Claude code. You're like, ooh, I can visualize all my chats. Ah. That is like productivity death, right? It's like, Claude, help me organize all my Obsidian notebooks. You're like, that's negative value.
Yeah.
That's absolutely negative value, right? I can talk all day about the information.
Thankfully, I solved one very specific problem with it and called it a day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Individual productivity versus team and organizational productivity. But maybe this will be a good jumping off point anyway. I just read something recently that said, it's as old as time, that roughly 10 to 25% of your technical employees account for between 60 and 80% of your AI tool usage in any given org. It's the 80-20 rule that applies to just about everything anyway. Meaning that a tiny group kind of accounts a whole thing. How does that concentration of usage play into your theory or not, that it's more about teams and organization than it is about the individual?
So right now, we've moved from 80-20 to a pretty traditional bell curve.
Okay. Interesting.
We've seen that move, right? That was because of conscious feedback we were providing to developers. I would say unaided, you're going to see... Now, there's a big difference between the greenfield mobile app you want to make on the weekend and how fast you can knock that out.
Sure.
And how fast you can move enterprise software development.
Got it.
Okay. Yes. So we're really talking about enterprise software dev.
Yeah.
So
we're not talking about Uncle Hank building a ski app for the weekend, right?
Correct. One of my non-developer friends building a golf gambling app. He's a real estate investor, not a coder, and now he's just infatuated with this weekend side hustle. Anyway, unaided, I would bet if you have a mandate for people to use AI, but have not followed that through with appropriate surveillance and coaching and continuous investment in moving the organization, you're going to see probably 80% of your contribution in terms of outputs come from the same people that it has historically come from, and they're going to be the bottom 20% of the users.
Got it.
So it's going to be inverted. There's going to be a small number of frontier developers that are not part of this, right? You're going to have the guys that lean in and explore everything and are producing outsized results or in a role that gives them that latitude.
Yes.
But the guys that are a frontline delivery role where they're expected to do things in a certain way, they're going to more often than not continue to do them a certain way until the organization really shows them and enables and empowers them to change the way that they work. So you're going to have the junior guys who have a little more time on their hands.
I'm glad Trinity's helicopter finally landed outside, by the way.
Yeah. you're going to have the guys that feel like the lower urgency of delivery priority. They're going to be the ones that are going to have more experimentation time on their hands.
Yes.
And so they're going to lean in and experiment, right? And now you might be getting some learning out of that. So it might not be complete waste, but let's just say it's not going into that releases value cycle directly, right? I look at this as there's the weekend warrior. They're the explorers that have latitude to explore, but then the vast majority of your folks are the ones that are tied up, fully allocated in a project plan that's already been set for the next quarter.
Got it.